then start right now during the announcements. It's perfect lead-in.
All right. We have a train announcement, Robert, live on the field pass. What are they saying? Are we on our way to Happy Valley?
It's a sign. It was the announcement for the Illini train. Not a joke. It's a total sign. Tomorrow is ours. It's going to happen.
I got to ask, did they say the train is delayed or are they saying it's on time? Because that would make a difference.
On time and ready to board, baby.
All right.
And I think they even said champagne as part of the announcement. So, I mean, it's just, it's the universe aligning for us tomorrow.
Well, we're going to have to keep this audio in, but with that, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have John joining me, and as you can tell, Robert coming to us live from the train station on his way to hopefully bring home a victory for the Illini this week. What do you think, Robert?
How crazy would that be? I mean, it's so weird to do this trip when you're 23-point dogs of like, this is a lot of effort. To go all the way there, watch us get beat down and come back. Like, I need something. I'm probably going to SOC some positivity tonight just because I don't want to believe that I'm doing all this travel just to watch a beat down and come home.
Well, at the very least, you can, hang your hat on this week not being super unproductive in terms of you possibly putting some virality out into the universe. We've kind of been talking amongst the IB groups in terms of the outside media, like some of the gambling shows that are coming out and how they're trying to perceive this Brett Bielema slight and all that stuff. And it's so funny seeing people who like don't really have, like they look at their box scores, they look at their numbers, they don't know that much about the program. So they see a couple snips on Twitter and they think like, oh yeah, snap judgment. And yep. How does it feel to be a part of that narrative, Robert?
I mean, the funny thing is like, the funny thing is that two clips you sent today were from betting podcasts.
Exactly.
And it's like, you would think that betting podcasts would be like, wait, what's the truth of this? Because will it really affect the line or does it not? You would think of all media sources that would reference this story, the one that would want to try to get it the most right to see if it affects what's going to happen in the game, the one trying to give betting advice. But who knows? Who cares? Like, it's just so silly to me that, we're just in this age of, you frame something some way, it spreads like wildfire across Twitter and nothing else matters beyond that moment. Used to be newspapers had to be very careful with stuff. You'd have to print a retraction if you said something an ounce out of the line. And now it's just throw whatever's out there and move on to the next thing.
I can't wait until Danny and I have kids and we're just like talking about, oh, back in the day, it didn't matter if you had, zero followers on Twitter, it didn't matter. And now like, our kids will have something that, completely puts everything into the universe.
Yep. Yeah. It's really, it's kind of disappointing. Like it's weird to me as an older guy that some kind of level of misinformation can spread so quickly without anyone worried about their reputation being attached to it. Because for years, like even this story, like nobody wrote about it. Like these websites, they just didn't do it. They, like ESPN didn't write a story on Monday, Bielema slams, reporters, even the Tribune or whatever. And nobody went after the story because it was pretty gray area of what he actually said. I think only really Deadspin and maybe a couple others like went after it. And so it's just really weird that we're in this age where people can, they just won't write the story because it's like, there's not enough there to know that that's exactly what he was saying. But in the age of Twitter, you can just say whatever you want. It's like, oh yeah, he's totally saying that. Yep. Yep. If you write in the paper, you're going to have to stand by those words. You're going to stand by that column. If you just toss it out there on Twitter, heck, whatever. It's close enough. I'm sure that's what happened. Whatever. So it's just really weird to me.
I got to ask you because Brett Bielema came and said, Robert, your quote, I think you said shots fired. What was your reaction as soon as he kind of calls you out in that situation?
I mean, you should watch on the YouTube video. My wife was laughing at it. Like, it's back to my face. My face is like a different color. just because I was like, whoa, did he just reference my shots fired? You know, so your brain goes to like, okay, so is he reading my entire Twitter feed? How closely does he follow? And honestly, this is not a joke. The very first thing I thought, this is God's honest truth. The very first thing I thought was, does that mean he saw my all caps deuce span tweet in the first game? That's literally what I thought of. Like, what would the head coach think of a grown man in the press box saying, dear God, was that deuce span? Somebody tell me if it was deuce span, because I'm pretty sure that was deuce span. Like, if the head coach is reading my Twitter feed, what are his thoughts on my idiocy? It's kind of weird. But yeah, it was, I mean, I thought he handled it really well in how he answered the questions. And, you know, even the way he approached the shots fired thing, he's, you know, he started to say, look, if it was that controversial, somebody would have said something in a moment. And then his brain kind of told him, wait a second. Yeah, you actually did say something. Guy asking me this question, you said shots fired in the moment. So yes, somebody actually did. And it just allowed me to say, okay, well, then what do you think of my observation? Was it shots fired?
It gave me the feeling when you're throwback to when you're in school and the teacher calls on the kid who, you know, isn't really paying attention, and they call him out, and then everyone's like, ooh, for a second. And then he went into his answer and it made more sense. But for a split second, I was like, ooh, Robert is in a lot of trouble right here.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, like, another thought you have is like, he had made that statement as part of another answer about clickbait and things like that. And so, you know, I'm trying to process in my head, does he think my shots fired was said in form of clickbait? You know, did he think, but it seems to me that when you listen to the whole thing and the way it all rolls out, that he didn't believe that, because he said, you know, you have a job to do and you can do what you do. So, you know, I thought that the way the national media quote tweeted the stuff was really bad. And I think the way the press conference went was really well stated and well approached. And, you know, it's almost kind of refreshing that he ended it with, look, I wasn't doing this, I wasn't doing that. People can have their opinions, but, you know, what matters is what happens inside the Smith Center, and everybody was good with it. So.
Sounds like, obviously, that got all the headlines this week, but we do have a game to play. And
yep.
Believe it or not, this isn't Brett Bielema's first time traveling with the team to Happy Valley. He did make an appearance at the end of last year, although it wasn't a pretty sight. John, I'm going to ask you, because I know you've been diving in a little bit. Do you have any initial gut feelings as to how this game's going to go on the heels of shots fired and all that hoopla going on in the background?
Yeah, so I don't really think that's going to matter at all in terms of what's going on in the building. I do think that this is, you know, the best caliber opponent that the boys will see thus far. And as much as I would love to, you know, hang our hat on the defense's recent improvements in terms of the last, you know, four games, it's one of those where at the same time, I don't know if this is this kind of offense is one of those where it might give us some issues. And I don't think I don't know if the quarterback situation not necessarily matters, but if whether it's Ryan Johnson or Art or BP, I think that there's still going to be issues that linger there that are not going to allow the boys to score enough. I don't think it's even going to be necessarily a repeat of last year, where, you know, for the first, what was that, quarter and a half, two quarters, it's kind of like, oh, we might be able to stay in a shootout with these guys. I haven't seen enough, and maybe they've got some wrinkles that they put in during the bye week. But from everything that I saw, you know, this week in terms of press conferences and whatnot, I think I would, any kind of quote unquote surprise is going to be more, oh, these guys are getting more playing time, they're going to see what kind of look they might have here. Not so much, all right, let's run the Trey Davis, you know, trick play pass for a touchdown and see what we got here. But yeah, I'm not feeling too great, especially, I know we didn't quite get into the after effects of Wisconsin, much like how Robert didn't do it from the stands. We were kind of just so dejected at the field pass part two being so such a dud that, you know, I was hopeful for that, but then to come out there and get absolutely trounced by Wisconsin when they have no semblance of an offense, like the fact that, you know, we got beat as much by as much as we did. I'm hoping to see something that gives signs of life, but you know, at this point it's kind of more of a, you got to prove it. I'm not just going to blindly, you know, the first couple of weeks I was kind of like, oh yeah, we'll blindly follow and see if, you know, something good happens. Now I'm kind of like, okay, we've got enough of a trend here that I don't think that the offense is going to break through for 30, 40 points, just out of the blue. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I really am, but I don't necessarily see it happening.
Yeah. I'm kind of, let me surprise you here. I'm like legitimately not, I don't know. I'm legitimately somewhat positive toward this game. I don't think we're going to win, but I think this is going to be a show up game. I think it's a bit of a rebound after getting housed by Wisconsin. I don't know. We'll see how the SOC goes tonight in the middle of, where does this train go through? Indiana, I guess. Indiana, Ohio. Yeah, I guess I'm going, I guess somewhere outside of South Bend, I'll be sitting down to write the SOC on the choo-choo. And I'm feeling right now that I'm probably going to predict the cover just because, I don't know. There's enough of hanging with Penn State and Maryland, improvements here and there this year that, yeah, we just had a dud, but I don't know if this team is a two dud team. I feel like they're going to rebound a little bit and leave people a bit encouraged. Now that's on the road at Penn State. I mean, it's not going to be a win, but I feel like the Penn State fans will be a bit frustrated tomorrow because they're expecting a 40-point beatdown. I just don't see that. Now, that said, I've written about it in the last like three stream of consciousness posts. Like, we're due for that turnover game. Like, we're 17th in turnover margin college football this year. Like, we're having that solid turnover year where we're picking up all the fumbles and everything's going our way. It's going to come back to bite us at some point. It's going to even out that, you know, that we've had a couple games where everything went our way. There's going to be a couple where they're getting the scoop and scores. So, you know, at some point that game's going to show up. But it just terms of performance, I think there's a bit of a rebound tomorrow. I don't think it's a win, but I think it's a rebound.
Do you think the rebound comes on both sides of the ball or specifically on, you know, one side of the ball or the other?
I think it's offense. I think defense is what it is and has adjusted well once they see what the other team is throwing at them. You know, I mean, we have to be honest about the defense. Like, you know, Hanson and Hart were the starters at the beginning of the year. We're now down to Tolson Barnes. There's, you know, some injuries are starting to pile up, and we think Seth Coleman is back, but we're not completely sure. And, you know, other nagging things here and there. So could be, you know, that teeters on the precipice of you have a couple in-game injuries and suddenly you're looking around at the bench and like, wait, do we have anybody we've had in the rotation this year? So, and then the other thing that sticks out to me is, like, Bielema named some freshmen. Like, he said Zach Barlow is going to play tomorrow. Like, okay. hasn't played a bit. True freshman offensive lineman. Does that mean he's just going to get in there on, like,
extra points?
Field goal and, yeah, extra points? Or does that mean they're going to get him in it, like, sit low for a few plays and play him at left tackle at Penn State as a true freshman? I mean, what? All right. I mean, Jeff Allen did his first moment on the road at Penn State, so as a true freshman. But I mean, that stuff like that's a surprise. He said, "Who else did he say? Kanenna Odaluga is going to play more." He said,
"Dylan Rose."
Yeah, Rosiak is going to play more. So, so it'll be interesting. Like, you know, does that tend to say they're going to just turn to, all right, it's time to start playing for next year?
That's what I was about to ask, because you have the bye week. It's kind of a good time to regroup or evaluate. Is this kind of the point in the season? You know, we're 2-5. Do we say, all right, let's go ahead and, you know, start giving those young guys a chance to get on the field? Or are you still playing, you know, with your best talent on the field? Obviously, Lovie Smith era, that decision was clear. They were going to go with the freshman and, you know, get those guys experience early. I'm just curious to see how Brett Bielema, you know, approaches it this week, because I think this week will kind of tell us.
Yeah, he's the way he has slowly worked freshmen in this year makes me think it won't be many plays, or it might just be almost all special teams. You know, like Pat Bryant got like 3 plays, then 18 plays, then 30. You know, they have like a pitch count for these freshmen. And so, you know, you might see that Barlow is just in on field goals and extra points. And, you know, Odaluga and Rosiak are only, you know, what, specialty and punt coverage, maybe. You know, they get 8 plays, whatever, you know. So it might be that, or it might be, you know, Lovey's was so abrupt after that bye week of like, wait, is that, yeah, they're starting Kenyon Jackson and Jamal Milan at defensive tackle. And they're both freshmen. So what happened to Chunky Clements? Is he just out? What happened to Rob Bain? Is he just sitting now? You know, there were all those questions. You know, it was sudden and immediate and time to play for the future. So, I don't think it'll be that, but it'll be interesting to see. Like, you know, if Sikowski starts, does that say, okay, Brandon's healthy, but we got to see if Art can be the guy next year? I mean, I don't know the answer to all that. Like, I mean, how do you determine? I mean, if we do see Barlev playing in front of Vidarian Lowe, then yes, there's, you know, a total youth movement happening. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, look, I'm traveling all this way and I make all this stuff. Like, what's the point? Let's be honest. I'm really excited to see, like, let me get Barlow in there and let me just watch him for 10 plays. That's the kind of stuff I like. Like, is he a tackle of the future or is he a future guard? You know, gives me something to do.
Maybe they'll have a rotating cast of the true freshmen who get the jersey number 98 so they can be tackle eligible like Josh Kurtz was couple weeks back. Maybe that's the plan. You'll see just like, a note on Twitter that, oh, Zach Barlow's changed his jersey number.
Yeah, it could be. I was trying to figure out, have we ever figured out, like, what did they say? Like, Jafar Armstrong went from 8 to 10? So I was trying to figure out why that would be. Like, during the games, we had 8 to 10. So the other 8 is Eddie Smith. So I guess maybe they thought about playing both on a kickoff return or something.
That's what I would guess. It's got to be something special teams related.
It would have to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to do the math on all that. Like, okay, well, why, you know, there's no 8 on offense, so why, you know, what would be the point of all this? So it's quite interesting what they do.
Well, and Robert, even to your point, talking about kind of like the youth movement in general, I do love, and this goes back to what Bielema was saying about the whole Josh McCray situation a couple weeks back when he was lighting up and he was talking about the one thing that always stood out to me that he said, I didn't want to play him in that Nebraska game because it might send him back 6 to 7 games. And that's something where, as a fan and even just someone who objectively is looking at the program, I love that because it seems like more of a case-by-case basis. Now, granted, they might be playing some favorites in terms of, you know, McCray being a guy that was, you know, Bielema's first recruit. So maybe they care a little bit more about him than they do some of the other guys who had just signed in the class. But at the same time, that's still something that I love to see because it means like, okay, they're looking at this and it's not just like what it seemed like with the Lovie Smith tenure is, okay, this is a blanket change. We're just going to get as many freshmen as much playing time as possible. And not that they didn't evaluate which freshman would get time over the other freshman, but I still think that there's a way to balance this in terms of getting meaningful reps for guys that are productive, but not stunting any kind of confidence in them either. So that then, you know, when they're sophomores and juniors, they're, you know, thinking back to when they absolutely got trucked as freshmen, and you know, you're kind of slowly introducing them in whatever way they see fit. Now, you might get some guys out there who aren't on a pitch count, who are on a pitch count, who are only doing special teams things, but at the same time, I just feel like this approach, at least, and I don't even think it's necessarily the stark contrast to what I was just saying about the Lovie Smith. I think it is a stark contrast, but I don't think that's necessarily why I think it's good. I think it's just that case by case basis is what we love.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that he. Yeah, that it's like not a bunch of people all doing the same diet. That it's 80 people all trying to lose weight with an individualized plan for each person, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I like that kind of approach, and it's different from what we've seen in the past. Now, that's, you know, in my mind, that's some tricky structure to put in place to be able to be trust the position coaches. What are you seeing from this kid? Is he ready? What do we know? You know, Bielema talks all the time about wanting to get to know the parents and doing Zoom calls with kids and their parents in the spring and, you know, just getting to know the family. So I know he views things like that of, you know, we got to be careful with him, or we really need to push him. He's the guy who doesn't respond until someone's really, really on him, you know? So evaluating all that would be kind of a crazy thing, other than, you know, compared to other coaches that might just have a, when you're ready, and we're going to play you, and we don't really, doesn't matter what kind of personality you have or anything else, we're just going to get you out there. So, yeah, it'll be quite interesting to see, you know, how that's applied, say, next year. You know, say Bielema does bring in, you know, 22 freshmen and 10 transfers. Okay, that's a whole bunch of guys to put through this system of, okay, don't want to stunt his growth. Now he's ready. Now we're going to get him out there. That's quite the undertaking.
I guess we'll, I want to jump over to picks of the week, because I don't know how many people are going to have the attention span on for a 2-5 Illini team headed to as a 24-point underdog to sit there and listen to us talk, because I mean, we could go for hours, but I just want to keep us focused on this game. And and Mikey, actually, he wasn't able to make it, his scheduling conflict this week, but he did send me his pick of the week, and I'll let Robert guess. Who do you think Mikey's taking this week? It's on the defensive side of the ball, I'll give you that.
He's taking Kirby.
It's a good guess. This is a secondary player, but it's not Kirby. I'll give you one more guess.
Sid? Spoon. Tony.
Tony. You got it.
Yep.
It's Tony Adams this week.
All four starters.
Not your best guess this time, but yeah. He did say...
I got it on the final guess.
You want to guess Mikey's specific stat of the week, though?
Two picks.
Cut it in half.
Okay. A pick and 7 tackles.
He just said one pick. That's all he sent me. So Tony Adams.
I'm not in tune with Mikey. I need to work on that.
John, do you have a pick of the week?
I'm going to go with Owen Carney, just because I feel like this will be a big time prove it game for him. Much like how I think last year, some of those guys were upset about not getting to play Ohio State. I think in terms of the view of like, oh, I can prove it to NFL draft scouts, I think that he can use this in terms of, you know, showing up against guys that are definitely on most NFL scouts' radar in terms of watching Penn State games. He might be able to go out and prove some nice things, or I think he will go out and prove some nice things. So I don't know if I'm gonna get too specific with it, but we'll go with a strip sack fumble. That'll happen at least once.
We're not getting too specific, but we're going with the strip sack fumble.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Nothing too crazy.
All right. Owen Carney. I like it. Robert, do you have someone in mind this week you think maybe has a big game or takes a step forward?
I do. After a bye week, I always gravitate toward the player that hasn't been the player most thought he was going to be. I always think that during the bye week, the coaches will sit down and look at film and like, wait a second, why are we not really relying on him? Like, that was going to be our thing, and it's just because it wasn't working. So my pick is Donnie.
I knew you were going to – I almost said it into the mic. Yeah. No, I almost said it because I was like, Robert, and this is a little bit of – not your bias, but I remember you being very high on him in the preseason and all that. Yep. And I was like, oh, he's – I was thinking either Donnie or Luke Ford. And I was like, I think he's going to pull the trigger on Donnie. Oh!
Yep. You should have said it.
I didn't get ahead of that.
You should have said it. Yeah. I mean, it just feels like they have abandoned the stuff that Donnie does. Like, think of the Michigan State game 3 years ago. Again, different offense, but you know, or the Michigan State game 2 years ago, the bowl clinching game.
Yes.
You know, Donnie had 7 or 8 catches in that game, and all of them were the move the sticks underneath, find a seam, sit down, good hands, immediately catch, turn and go. You know, nothing over. I don't think, you know, probably his longest catch was 12 yards that day. But it was just that little let Donnie sit down and find the spots and do that. And again, I'm, you know, are they going to even be in zone? Are they going to, you know, are they going to be spots? You know, there's a whole bunch of questions. But I just feel like there's been, they've gotten away from what they wanted to do in the spring, which was get the ball to Donnie. And they just haven't done it. And they haven't had the quarterbacks focused on him. And they just, you know, I feel like the coaches are going to sit down and be like, you know what? We had this all spring and in the summer and we were ready for this and we've just kind of not gotten there. Let's make that a point of emphasis.
See, for a very similar reason, I'm going with Isaiah Williams. And he's okay. A guy that, I mean, obviously got a lot of attention when he made the position change, but he hasn't really had many home runs or they've True. Tried to force him into the game plan early on a few drives, but then he's tended to fall off. But I think against a team like Penn State, you're going to need a couple home runs if you want to, you know, stay in that game. You're not going to be able to beat him to death with 1,000 paper cuts and just run Chase Brown and Josh McCray for, you know, the entire game and try to get those 3 and 4 yard runs against a team like Penn State. So I think they're going to have to really force the ball into Isaiah's hands and get him out in space. And I think they're going to ride with him throughout the game. That's going to be a big emphasis, especially when you have potentially a guy like Art Sitkowski coming in. You need to get him in a rhythm early. They're going to do a lot of short, you know, passes, maybe get the ball to the perimeter and maybe use Isaiah on some jet sweeps and things just to, you know, give Penn State a little bit of a different look. So similar reason to you, you know, with Donnie, a guy who, like you said, was supposed to be an integral part of that game plan. Isaiah, I think, is similar in that boat. And I think they're going to just do a lot to get the ball in his hands this week.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. It just feels like that they just spent the last 2 weeks saying, we have to be able to pass the ball. Like, we have to figure this out. We have to find something.
Yep.
Even if we just narrow down the playbook to these 12 passing plays that we're going to get really good at, you know, they just have to find something.
I do think we will see a steady stream of tight end plays this week too, just because, again, that was something that was talked about a lot, and I feel like our tight ends have not been utilized nearly as much as we would have anticipated going into this season. So that might be something they have reevaluated this week and go back to, at least against Penn State.
Yep.
It's so frustrating just to like kind of hop on what you're just saying there, Danny, about like what, and even what you both have been talking about in terms of like what we thought during the preseason or as the season's gone on. The one thing that I'll come back to that Tony Peterson was talking about a couple weeks ago in his press conference about how he was talking about like play sequencing and how these things are thought up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And like, I understand that and respect that. And it gives me more solace knowing that, you know, he's maybe sticking a little bit more to the script there rather than trying to read what a defense is giving him and then sequencing based off that, which is, I, you know, much prefer the latter, but at the same time, I can at least understand that. But at the same time, you can't say that you're, you know, doing all this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you're just not utilizing the most effective weapons with your tight ends and Isaiah Williams, you know, as many weeks as it's gone on now at this point. So I'm hoping that there's somewhat of a breakthrough for both your guys and also, you know, Luke and Daniel as well.
I think we're going to have to get over 100 yards if we're going to want to win this game this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is also that, you know, I'm a big believer in the
trap games.
Yes. Like, you know, they're at Iowa, then us at home, then at Ohio State. You know, they've probably spent half their practice this week prepping for Ohio State. You know, it's just that, and again, that doesn't always lead to an upset at home, but it leads to that, holy crap, why did we only win 24-13 when we should have won 41-10? You know, like, that's the kind of sense I have for tomorrow. And I just, you know, maybe it's the hope talking, maybe it's the fact that I'm doing all this travel, but, just, you know, when it's sandwiched between at Iowa and at Ohio State for them, you know, well, at number two, and then what's Ohio State right now? 5 or something like that. So, you know, they have 2 top 5 games and we're sandwiched in the middle. Yeah, it seems like they might overlook some things.
John, on that note.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of gambling, I mean, that's Robert Robert Betts is out here, you know, Bobby Betts out here telling you that's a classic sandwich spot for, and that's why you might want to take the points here for the boys in orange and blue, because, you know, it's looking like, no, I'm just kidding. That Robert is not giving
Robert's
any advice
roundup
about what to do with your money. I'm just saying it's hilarious. Like,
I do like Bobby's bets, though. I need to work that into my own page on the site.
Yeah, you know, when you're taking this bad boy to the moon, when IB is one of the most popular websites because Brett Bielema is winning national championships, you're going to have to find new ways to get content. And, you know, I only ask for a small slice of 90% of whatever revenue comes from Bobby's bets. That's all.
This week on Bobby's bets, I'll ask you this. Over under 1.5 fourth and shorts gone for by the Illinois offense.
Don't make me laugh. 1.5?
1.5 fourth and shorts.
Season's over, going over.
All right.
I would agree. I don't think we're going to get Robert to give a game prediction.
No.
So, I mean, he's kind of giving us his thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Be on the lookout for a stream of consciousness, which I'll probably already be up on the site by the time this episode is out. So head on over to IlliniBoard.com and read up on.
Look for whatever I can get a signal on the train somewhere around.
Middle of nowhere, Indiana.
Yeah.
John, do you want to jump in with your prediction?
Yeah, I think I've kind of been flip-flopping in my mind over whether they do or don't cover because of all things we've kind of discussed. I do think that although there's kind of a trap game effect, I think this is one of those games where Franklin was going to have the boys somewhat riled up because he knows the trap game with no Clifford effect, like almost will make him overcompensate for it. If there is no Clifford, I still don't think it's going to be, I think they'll cover. I'm going to go 31-10 just because I think that once they kind of have it in hand, they might ease up a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think it's anything that is going to be super close early. But that's just based off of the disappointments of high school.
Just to see if I heard you right. So you said not super close early, but then 31-10 to cover. So is this like the lone touchdown with 41 seconds left?
Yeah, some kind of backdoor. It's like I'm going to say 14-3 after the first quarter and then
So that's 31-3 going into late fourth quarter. And then Ryan Johnson comes in off the bench.
I think it's one of those where in the third quarter, it's like a 24-3 situation. And, you know, everyone's got their backups in. And, yeah, maybe you do have something where Ryan Johnson is – they're just, you know, picking up scratch cards and just seeing like, oh, can we get some here? And Ryan Johnson throws a touchdown to Tip Ryman. And, boom, we get that. But then – you know, the second string defense is just absolutely pummeled. And then we get the final score of 31-10.
I really wanted you to say to Pat Bryant right there. That would give me.
Listen, I just want the tight ends to get some, like, I want a heavy tight end utilization. One of the, like, it's probably the deepest room that we have on the off. Well, scratch that. The running back room. Yeah. Well, with the injury, whatever. Regardless.
I like that you backed out your thought three times there.
That's how things go on this podcast. It's just like
John talks until he does a full circle on
exactly.
his original take.
Exactly.
Robert, would a Ryan Johnson to Pat Bryant touchdown result in an all caps tweet from you?
It would result in 4 all caps tweets and quite possibly leaving the press box so I could have a moment to myself.
I thought you were about to say have a smoke. I was like Robert, it's just a touchdown, man. Like, you don't need to get that worked up.
Oh god, that would be awesome. I could write the whole, like, you know, striping parking lots at Hardee's story. And yeah, I mean, it's so funny. Like, you know, here we are talking about a Division II quarterback who walked on and the thought that he could, you know, read Penn State's everything they would do to disguise defenses against him, that he would have the capability to just step in his first game and just, like, you know, read every little trick they throw at him. I, you know, it's preposterous, but I still can dream. I will always dream.
It's like a chess game where you play someone who has zero strategy.
That's exactly right. Yes.
It's like one time Danny and I played, we were in, I forget what lecture it was. I think it might've been Batum like 250 or something like that. And we were playing chess on our max against each other. And Danny like actually had like a couple moves. Like I've played like 12,000 games of chess in the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't think Danny's come even close to 12 games of
maybe,
chess.
Yeah. Maybe like and, six.
He like had me and I was like, what is going on? I mean, he ended up gacking it because he didn't see it. Like I saw it and I was like, oh, I'm not going to say anything about that. But yeah, it could be something where maybe
Ryan
the Penn
Johnson.
State defenders are so confident that Ryan Johnson's just like, oh, Pat Bryant, wide open. Let's just throw him the ball.
Yeah, double moves all day on the outside and our receivers are just running loose. Just
so it's like one of those times where like you're playing chess against somebody online or something. And you think they're pretty good, but like they're having their dog choose the, you know, like whatever toy their dog picks up, that's the piece they're moving.
Yeah.
And their strategy seems so outlandish that you're convinced they're up to something. Yeah. I like it. Illinois football. Dogs playing chess. I love it.
It's the headline of your next article.
Yep.
All right, Danny, let's get that prediction.
Well, I'll give you Mikey sent me his prediction, and obviously he's only, I think, chosen against Illinois once against Ohio State maybe last year. So he's choosing Illinois to no one's surprise, and he's got a 21-17 Illinois win. So Tony Adams, interception, and Illinois winning the game 21-17. That's Mikey Dudek.
God bless him.
I'm going to go a different route. I think it's going to be just a really weird game. I'm going to pick a weird score, and I'm going to choose 13-6 Penn State in a classic Big Ten battle of defense and bad offense. I'm kind of relying on Sean Clifford not playing with that prediction. So if Sean Clifford plays, I see more of what John sees, but I think if Sean Clifford does not play, their offense and their backup looked pretty bad against Iowa when he came in the game last week. So I could see the Illinois defense just rising to the occasion and holding them to maybe a touchdown and a couple field goals, which would be an awesome effort on their part. But I don't think Illinois' offense is going to have enough firepower to keep up with those 13 points.
The SEC in 2012 or the Big Ten in 2021, you tell me.
I want one of those screenshots of like the entire first half, the drive summaries, and it just punt, punt, turnover on downs, missed field goal, punt, punt, and then like one field goal made before the end of the half, and it's 3-0 at the half. That's what I want.
Well, for my prediction, you have to wait.
Yep.
I can't do it until somewhere. Send
out. You did slightly tip your cap that at this point in time, you were a little more positive on the Illini than people might expect. But
Correct.
You did say Illinois will not win this game. So
you'll just have to tune into the Bobby Betts podcast on your favorite, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Let's leave it at that. Unless Robert, do you have any words of wisdom for this team? Media's out, you know, shots firing at us this week. What are we going to do when we get out on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I also even think that the Hansen injury is another like kind of rally point kind of thing. You know, yes, he's a starting linebacker, and yes, he was second team All Big Ten last year, and yes, you know, he was preseason first team All Big Ten. So it's a loss, but it's also your heart and soul. It's your captain. It's your, you know, that's a massive loss. So I could see a rally post bye week, rally around the guy who's out, you know, his career is over. You know, I could see some effort. You know, I fear the turnovers a lot. But I can see them, you know, rallying around all the stuff that's happened and playing a solid game.
We will leave it at that. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Field Pass. You can find us online on social media at The Field Pass. You can check out Robert on IlliniBoard.com. Be on the lookout for his stream of consciousness where he lets us know that Illinois will be losing the game by what, like 24-23? My prediction of Robert's prediction is, I'm going to say 24-10, Penn State.
John, you want to predict my prediction?
Boy, getting in the mind of Bobby Betts here, trying to think of one of the greatest analytical and betting minds of our time. Oh man, he's just seeing the board. And I think I'm gonna have to, we're gonna go 27-13. So I guess I'm adding two field goals. I'm adding a field goal to each score that you just gave, Dan. But I'm trying to find football scores in my mind. I'm like, so they'll probably score, you know, three touchdowns and two field goals. Rob will probably get that. That's reasonable. And then we'll maybe get one, but then a couple field goals. So just trying to get in the mind of good old Bobby Betts.
Oh, and yeah, fellas, if I could plug my website for a moment.
Yes, please do.
Of course.
There's a debut tonight of a new feature.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this.
Which is a stream of consciousness for basketball, which I'm going to do starting now.
So we got a double SOC. Let's not call it SOC.
Yes.
I'm going to get on this train and head to the observation car and find a table and write the stream of consciousness, of course, and the new series will be called. So, what is it? Crap, I forgot. Oh, yes, it's So How We Doing. From just before Tom Cruise says, looks like University of Illinois, Rebecca De Mornay asks him, so how we doing? So, for every basketball game the night before, I'm going to do a similar thing where I write, so how we doing?
All right.
Just so much streaming of consciousness. Can't get enough.
Guys, thank you for letting me plug my website.
No, absolutely.
No, thank you, Robert.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. You know, listen to these guys. I'll shout you out on social media.
Let's go. Oh.
You shout us out on social media, we'll shout you out even louder.
All right. As long as you call me Bobby Betts.
Will do. Thanks, Bobby Betts. Appreciate it. And go Illini.